You are now tuned into Big Market Bites.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, everyone, and welcome to Big Market Bias. Coming at you live from the West Coast, I'm Cameron Green. Coming at us live from the East Coast, we've got Peter Daubert. What's happening, Peter?
A lot's happening today, Cam. A lot's happening. I don't know if you saw the once-in-a-lifetime game-winning shot by Kyrie Irving.
Unreal.
Over Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's really happening is I'm sitting here like, damn, is Kyrie kind of cool now, actually?
Because he's had no major issues all year. He's been not a locker room cancer. None of the problems of the Mavs are his fault, except for the defense is everyone's fault.
Yeah. It's a fun collective. I mean, you know, it's just the shot he took, you know, it's so fun. Obviously, you see the entire Mavs bench, like, mauling him afterwards. It's such a weird, herky-jerky shot. Nikola Jokic almost blocked it. Like, you see, I think I saw, a different angle from the regular broadcast, and he was, like, that close to just getting a hand in there. Couldn't quite do it. Like, a kind of a junior skyhook kind of thing he was
left-handed
doing.
Left-handed, too.
Amazing. Incredible.
Reminiscent of LeBronto.
Absolutely. Yes. And it's just, I don't know if the Mavs mean really anything for the Mavs going forward, but it does mean for this moment, Kyrie, little cool. We'll see. It'll probably all fall apart in this offseason, I imagine. You know, we'll see what happens. He'll probably say something again that will, you know, make everyone hate him. But for
probably
this
in
moment,
the playoffs, even.
Yeah. Who knows? It could happen. It could happen tomorrow. You never know with that guy.
You really don't.
At least right now, you're looking at this like, dang, this is kind of cool. The Luka-Kyrie pairing. You know, this is kind of what you imagined a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers, like, decided between Kyrie and their role players. And, I mean, D'Lo's worked out really well. Really, really well. But for the rest of the crew, you wonder if they would trade Kyrie for all the other role players. I think they would right now. So that's where we're at.
Pretty bleak. You gotta be willing to do just about anything for the Lakers at this point. Like, yeah, can we take this back? Can we retroactively bring Kyrie into the team? Really about that game, honestly, it felt like the Mavs were. I don't know. I'm not here to say that the Nuggets are on the same level of the Mavs at all. The Mavs are I don't think could really realistically push the Nuggets in a playoff series, but it just kind of, you know, the way they hung with them, the way they really were able to go toe to toe. You know, we were just talking last week. We had conversation about Jokic.
How the Nuggets are inevitable. Yeah.
Yeah, and all this stuff. And, you know, maybe there is some validity to, you know what? But we can just keep the pace. If we can just, you know, a bad defensive team like the Mavericks, but that can keep up with them, can outscore them potentially, you know, that could maybe be the recipe.
Yeah, I mean, defense doesn't matter against the Nuggets because they just break everything apart, any defense you throw at them. So if that doesn't matter, then all you really need is an offense that can keep up with the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you have a chance, I guess? I don't know. I don't think so, but we can dream.
I sit there and I say that, but I'm like, I'm still not picking any of these teams in the seven-game series. I'm not picking the Mavs.
No way.
To beat the Nuggets.
Kyrie's game winner buried another game winner that happened earlier in the night. Bam Adebayo hit a deep three pointer to win the game.
Yes.
And nobody cared.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, you know, we try to stay away from any sort of heat positivity on the show, but you got to hand it to Bam. You know, there's that little report that the trend that like he's weirdly like, the Hail Mary three for him is like kind of working. He's like suddenly like he's taking a couple more threes and he's actually starting to hit them. And like, you know, I don't think he's a killer three-point shooter, but it makes you a little scared of like, Damn, what if Bam can just start pulling up from three when no one guards him and he just hits them sometimes? Like, that's kind of scary.
That is scary. No, that would be a huge development. 100%. You know, another thing, I don't know why I've thought of this, but Steph just had a quote where he was like, you saw how we played tonight. It doesn't matter if we're a seed 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If we're playing like that, we're not going anywhere. Something like mm-hmm. that. I don't even know what game it was after or anything. I just saw the quote. But it's kind of... I love the radical transparency from Steph about the Warriors. I wouldn't be happy as a Warriors fan, necessarily, to hear that. But he's not wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have any thoughts about the Warriors?
I mean, well, they've been, I feel like, treading water, it feels like, for totally. A long time
now. Yeah, it's like they're bailing water.
Yeah, they're just trying to stay alive as much as humanly possible. But Steph is right. You know, that like, you know, no one really, I don't think a lot of people are sitting here saying that the Warriors can really do it. They don't really seem like they have the horses. It doesn't matter if they're the 10th seed. Yeah, because they could easily be the 8th seed if they just win a few more games. You know, does it really matter, though? Because at the end of the day, it's not good enough. You know, Steph has that championship mentality. He's looking at the title, and he just says, well, we probably don't have enough for that. Now, I mean, it's always a chance. The weird thing about it is that I was kind of looking at the standings, you know, I'd look at the standings like basically every day, and I had counted out the Rockets. I had said, you know, in my brain,
they just lost Sengun.
Yeah, and that means they're probably not going to go anywhere. But the fact that the Rockets have won their last five, they're 5-0 in their last five.
What?
They're 7-3 in their last 10. They're only three. They're still three games behind the Warriors. So. Probably
just,
not.
Just when you thought the worm had turned on Jalen Green.
Exactly. Like, I thought they were dead. I truly did.
Sengun was just in the way.
Yeah. Now that Jalen Green can really cook in a way that he was never able to before, that's what this team has been missing. And, like, you know, it's kind of funny. I think the Rockets are kind of, you know, I think... Basically, every team is kind of staring at that calendar. They're staring at 1 month from now when the playoffs begin. They're ready to go to the playoffs. I think we all are. We're ready go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the Rockets are almost like, you know, they're catching these teams sleepwalking. So they're able to come in, play hard. If you just play hard in March basketball, sometimes that's just enough to get you there. And I don't think that this is going to matter. Ultimately, the Warriors will probably keep their spot at 10, most likely. But it would be really funny to me if at the very end here, if the Rockets were able to somehow steal the play-in spot, and now the Warriors
are just out in the lottery. The Warriors
are just out. And we don't even get Lakers-Warriors in the play-in.
Right.
Which would be sad, because you know, everyone wants
Everybody looks forward to it every year.
Yeah, you know, LeBron versus Steph, play in. Oh, here we go.
Right.
You know.
The introduction to the playoffs. There we go.
Yeah.
I hate that so much.
Who's going to get beat down by the Oklahoma City Thunder?
I've already stated my opinion on that before. We don't have to rehash that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Pelicans have also been really strong of late. They played against the Clippers and beat them recently. Just watched that game. And it was a pretty tight game throughout. Something I noticed on the Clippers side is that they rely on tough shot making sometimes. They go through these stretches where it's like Paul George hit a contested mid-ranger. Kawhi hit a contested three-pointer, hit a contested mid-ranger. James Harden hit a contested layup. You know, there's a lot of contested shots. They're also sometimes using Tice as a playmaking big, where he sets a pick and then gets the ball and then he passes it to someone. And now teams are getting that, and he's not as effective as he was earlier in the year. I mean, we knew that Tice being a positive player wouldn't last that long, but You know, PJ Tucker has kind of stepped up to make up for that. But just generally speaking, Kawhi went down and he came back, and the Clippers just didn't look right anymore. They just haven't looked right. They just, Karl George said that they don't have an identity right now. I mean, what are your thoughts on the Clippers?
I've been keeping a little bit of an eye on them because at the beginning of the year, I really wrote them off. And especially when they
were both in.
Yeah. Especially when they traded for James Harden. It was like,
you know what? I never didn't write them off, to be fair. Even when they're the best team. We were both weren't taking them seriously when they were the best team in the league for like
3 weeks. And that's still kind of just where I'm at a little bit, where I'm just like, I still don't fully take them seriously. I mean, I know they're really good. They're playing really well. But other than these last few games, where it seems like they've been kind of floundering. The thing I think Paul George really actually kind of hit on it pretty perfectly. They don't really fully have an identity. They're just kind of all running out there. I mean, James Harden looks great. He's dishing out all kinds of really, really good assists, and offensively at least, he's been a very valuable player for them. And it seems like Kawhi and Paul George both are just kind of doing what they do. But it doesn't, I guess, cohese super well into one machine, and it just kind of feels like multiple individual parts a little bit to me. And it just seems sloppy a lot of, you know, when I watched them against the Hawks. A lot of what it was, it felt sloppy to me. It just felt like
they
careless.
Got killed against the Hawks. And the Hawks have the 28th defense, ranked defense.
Yeah. And no Trae Young on the Hawks when they.
Ewing theory. Didn't I say this earlier in the year?
Yeah. Of course, the Ewing theory with Trae Young is in full effect, and I get it. But I just like, you know,
these other teams. No excuse.
Yeah. You know, the Clippers are sitting at the 4 seed right now. And so right now, if the season ended, we would be getting Clippers Pelicans at the 4-5. And honestly, I think Pelicans probably in 6.
I think I'd take the Pelicans right now, yeah.
Yeah, in that series, because it's just like, I just feel like they, you know, for all of their problems and all of their kind of shortcomings at certain points, they do have an identity. They've been playing together for a long time.
They're 7-3 in their last 10, the Pelicans.
Yeah, I trust them a lot more offensively.
They also attack the Clippers' weakness, which is their bigs.
Yeah,
obviously,
exactly. Even though I know that Kawhi Leonard and Paul George too are both really solid defenders. They're good wing defenders, and so I do think Brandon Ingram would have a problem in the 7-game series there. But
Paul George has taken like a half a step back on defense this year.
That's true. He's not quite the same guy.
And Kawhi is just asked to do so much on defense. Like, I'm watching him on defense, and he's switching between 3 defenders. And his main guy is Zion, but he's helping off of him because Zion can't shoot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's too much on him, especially with his injury history. And it's just like, this is not sustainable at all. So, yeah, I see a first-round exit in the cards for sure for the Clippers.
It's very possible. I think, weirdly enough, I think if the Kings, like, so the Kings are right now sitting at the 6th spot, and they're only 2 games behind the Pelicans. So if theoretically, I think the Kings, or actually the Mavs, because they're like right behind the Kings, the Mavs or the Suns, I think the Mavs or the Kings, if they were able to make it into that 5 spot, I actually think that the Clippers would have a much better chance against them.
Yeah.
As much as I love Sabonis and Fox, I think that the Clippers could do a lot. They just have the talent. They have the defense. I kind of trust it a little bit more. I don't trust, I guess, Sacramento to really fully stop them from doing what they want offensively. And I trust them a little bit more defensively. And so I feel like those would be good series. But I feel like the Clippers would be good. I feel like
I would pick the Kings.
Really?
Yeah, but I'm not sure about that one. I'd have to think about it.
Yeah.
But we talked about it already before this year, how it's like a rock, paper, scissors situation in the West where, like, matchups are super, super important.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I wonder if there's going to be any shenanigans to get a certain matchup later in the season.
Yeah.
You know? That'd be really fun.
And then with the play-in game, it kind of makes it a little bit more difficult, obviously.
Right.
But, like, I do wonder if, I mean, like, if you're, like, let's say, I don't know, let's say you're the Lakers, right? Let's say the Lakers are somehow able to move up to, like, the 7-8 game. Would you theoretically tank the 7-8 game just so that way you can get the 8 seed because you'd rather face the Thunder?
You know they wouldn't try to do that. Yeah. LeBron would never try to do that because that's just tempting fate. That's like flipping off the basketball gods.
Exactly. It's risky. That's my thing with all of the – whenever we talk about these, like, end of scenarios, oh, should, like, the – certain people tank these games and things like that. But I think when we get to the play-in game, like, is any team bold enough to the Clippers to say, might be. You know what, we want the 8th seed. We don't want the 7th seed.
Dallas, maybe.
I mean, yeah, we know that they've liked to do that stuff in the past. I could see them doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't even know if the Mavericks... See, that's the thing. It's like, would the Mavericks even want to get away from the Timberwolves necessarily? Like... No, because the Mavs are kind of the perfect team. Because what does Gobert do against, like, a couple of guards?
Luka just toys with them, yeah.
Yeah, Kyrie and Luka just kind of, carving I feel like, can up. Just carve up Gobert. And I feel like that's actually a great matchup for the Mavericks. And so maybe you don't want to take that. But also at the same time, you know, the Wolves and the Nuggets are only half a game behind the Thunder.
I know.
So we can't even sit here and say the Thunder will be the 1 seed because it right. could very easily shuffle completely.
It could.
So it's the West is like really fun to just look at the standings every morning when you wake up and just see, okay, this is how things have shuffled a little bit. Because you're right. It's like a rock, paper, scissors thing. It's so matchup dependent over there.
Yeah. But you like with how close the standings are at the top, you can't think like that because we just got to get to the playoffs to figure it out from there.
Yeah,
you know, obviously the Lakers do not want to go against Denver in the first round. You know, I don't think that Golden State wants to go against Minnesota in the first round. I don't think Phoenix wants to go against Denver in the first round. So nobody wants Denver in the first round. Let's be real.
Like, please.
Everybody's like, we'll take our chances on the young guys. We'll take our chances on the Thunder. We'll take our chances against the Timberwolves. Hell, we'll take our chances against the Clippers.
There is a weird, there's a fun thing. So right now, the 3-6 matchup would be Nuggets-Kings. And I weirdly think that the Kings might actually be able to push them a little bit. I don't know. I don't know if Sabonis is going to be able to guard Jokic. But
definitely not. No one can.
But I feel like Fox would be able to do a lot. I feel like Sabonis could handle Jokic on him defensively.
Yeah, and Sabonis kills people every day.
They're such a fun, fast team.
Yeah.
I feel like we were just talking about, they could keep up with the Nuggets.
Yeah, and their defense isn't as bad as it was last year. It's taken a step up. So
yeah.
And they'll throw zone in there sometimes. Yeah. They'll try things.
You know, Keegan Murray has like improved a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that, so I don't know. I still look at the Kings like it's, like I just said, I was like, oh, I don't think they want the Clippers, but I weirdly think that they might be the only team in the entire West bracket that wouldn't hate a matchup against the Nuggets in the first round.
Yeah. I would like to see Dallas against Denver. That would be fun, I think, in the first round.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't really know. I mean, I guess not Houston, because they don't have Sengun.
Yeah, I mean, if Sengun isn't in, if he's just not going to be healthy for any sort of playoffs, it's not even worth it. It's like, okay. I'm honestly shocked that they have been winning these games late in the season. Like, you'd think they would be in full tank mode.
It's almost certainly fool's gold.
Yeah. They're gonna Tobin Fertitta is gonna look at this like little stretch here at the end of the season and say, you know what? I should pay Jalen Green. I should pay him. He needs the money.
Oh my God. Jalen Green needs a change of scenery at least.
It's brutal. I picked him on my fantasy team. I was so happy.
I traded for him.
Oh, brutal.
Well, I got him for basically nothing. I thought it was a buy low, you know.
Okay.
I don't know. Jaden Ivey.
Oh, see, it's so tough with him.
I traded Jaden Ivey for him, so.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Jaden Ivey is almost like a worse version of Jalen Green.
Yeah, he's getting like half the playing time.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know.
And then also Jalen Green has a chance to change scenery and something might happen there.
So that's like the thing, you know, because I'm in a keeper league, and so I'm like,
you're not gonna
that
keep
might
him.
Be the thing that makes me keep him. He's been disappointing me all year, but I'm like, oh, but maybe
I'm sure you have other players you can keep.
I might end up talking. We'll see how it goes, but I might end up talking myself into keeping Jalen Green, which I don't know.
That's right. Fantasy basketball playoffs started this week, and some leagues this week, some weeks the week before, but I'm on a bye right now with the one league I'm in the playoffs in. So, yeah, just waiting for them to beat each other up, and I'll see them next week.
I actually got through my quarterfinals matchup.
Congratulations!
So that's nice. So I'm in the semis now. I'm against the one seed.
Ooh.
One seed in our league. We had in our league. It's a two juggernauts. The 1 and 2 seed. There's a big gap between everybody else and the regular season standings.
I see.
So they both made it. So the two, I don't remember. It's like the 2 and the 6 or something like that on the other side of the bracket, and I am against the 1 seed. So we'll see how that goes. I'm really, really hoping that you know, I get some great games from Jokic in this coming week.
I'm sure you will.
And everyone,
Jokic is crazy.
We're begging for DeMar DeRozan to pop off. praying. The other guy has Chet and Wemby. That's he has both
in a keeper league.
In a keeper league and SGA.
Ooh. Ooh.
In a keeper league. So he did the thing that I think you talked about doing, which was drafting Chet and stashing him for the entirety of last year. That's what he did.
And so, got the number one pick and got victory as well.
And he got the number one pick. He just so happened to get the one pick. So he's sitting on both those teams. So I'm in the weird position of rooting against Victor Wembanyama, which is not something I've done all year.
Yeah, no.
But now I'm like, please, Thunder, I need you guys to fall asleep this week. I need Victor Wembanyama to just like, I don't know, to just kind of forget how to play defense. to shrink. Can Wemby eat like one of the minus mushrooms from Mario?
Oh my gosh.
And he get tiny for the week? That would be really great
in,
for me.
In my Dynasty League, I have Victor, obviously. And I was hoping to tank one more year because I really want to get Cooper Flagg. But he's just so good, there's no way I'm going to be able to tank next year. So
that's the LeBron problem, right? You know, he's
exactly.
Just too good.
I mean,
can't tank.
Kobe White, Tyrese Maxey. You know, they all these guys kind of blew up for me as well. So it's like, we'll see. And I don't even know. I mean, it's going to be a lottery for the last draft for the first draft pick. I should get it. I should have the best odds this year.
But we'll see.
But we'll see, yeah. And there's not really a number one pick, unfortunately. But I did trade for a few number one picks of other guys' teams next year. So who knows? I might get a couple of chances to get the number one pick. So who knows?
Yeah, I've been doing some. I've been starting to prep a little bit for the draft. I've been doing like some light reading, some draft guides, just trying to figure out who the prospects are. You know, what are we looking at? And I don't know. And yeah, I know that everyone says this is a bad draft. But, you know, they say the same thing. They say that all the time. You know, the Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell draft was supposed to be terrible. You know, there are a lot of drafts out there. The Anthony Edwards draft, right? Mm-hmm. That was supposed to be terrible.
Haliburton.
You know.
Pick 17th.
Exactly. So I feel like, you know, I feel like, you know, everyone says that, and so we all, you know, no one gets super excited or anything. But they're going to be gems. They're going to be heaters. They're going to be all NBA players probably. statistically speaking, there's usually at least one All-NBA player in a draft most of the time. I'm pretty sure. So
always. Yeah. I mean, Jokic, second rounder.
Yeah, exactly. Somewhat. So I'm looking forward to I'm just trying to do some research. I'm looking forward to that. The obviously the Celtics really, you know, since Jason Tatum haven't been really involved in the draft really at all, for the most part. So I've mostly just been looking at the draft as an outside observer for the past like 5-6 years, basically. Because I'm like, yeah, the Celtics, they have a pick, like, it's like, but it's like pick 28 or whatever. I'm like, I don't even care. I'm not, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll look him up after we draft somebody, and then I'll look him up and see how he is. That's how it was with Robert Williams. I was like, who is this guy? What? So, oh,
to backtrack, I just remembered something. There was a play in the Pelicans Clippers game. It was towards the end of the game. It was tight. It was close still. And the ball got knocked around. It was supposed to be Clippers ball. And Kawhi just did not want to dive for it. He should have and could have dove and got the ball. He would have gotten it. But he just didn't want to do it because he's been injured so many times. He was just like reaching and reaching and reaching and just couldn't get it. And it was like, I don't know. That's just a huge red flag to me.
Yeah. Huge red flag. Yeah, because if he's not feeling comfortable enough to dive for loose balls, I mean, that's an issue. That's really, you know, one of the biggest things of basketball, I feel, is effort. And that is that, you know, that's hustle. What can, yeah, hustle, effort, you know, being willing to dive for loose balls, for fighting for rebounds and fighting for position. And a lot of those things just come down to you being willing to do those things and trying to do those things, you know, as somebody who's not very talented at basketball at all, but like, you know, I try, and I'm also a giant compared to normal people. And that's just what I do. But it's like, yeah, it's just effort a lot of the time. That's what basketball is.
Yes.
And so if Kawhi, your best player, you know, I've never been, I know that star players do that. Like, they'll kind of...
They make business decisions.
Yeah, they make business decisions. They don't always go for those loose balls because it's like, whatever, I'm the superstar. I'm not getting hurt for this.
Right.
You know, but, you know, it feels bad. But at the same time, Kawhi, you know, he's been hurt a lot. He's been dealing with injury issues for like 7 years now. So at this point, it's probably the smart decision. So I can't fault him too heavily for it.
But yeah, I get it.
It's not a great culture setter.
No, not at all. He's not. He's not. He shouldn't be your leader. He shouldn't be your culture setter. He should just be like the tip of the spear, kind of like AD a la 2020. You know, and then you have another guy whose personality is the lead, whatever.
Like Russell Westbrook. You know, he's their he's their leader over there in LA. What I think the world needs is the fact that we haven't gotten a Lakers Clippers playoff series yet. You know, this whole era began. It was like, all right, LeBron is going to the Lakers, Kawhi is going to the Clippers. Let's go, you know. And I feel like we've been getting close, getting teased with it for years now. And it's something that, you know, it'll be difficult, I think, for it to happen this year. But if we can get it, man, it would feel bad, I think, if the eras ended, right? If LeBron left the Lakers, which he'll, you know, he might do.
Next couple of years, maybe, yeah.
Or Kawhi leaves, you know, whoever leaves, which one of those guys is going to leave first? Yeah. Or maybe AD or Paul George move on.
And they never went against each other.
And we never got to see it.
It's like we didn't get to see Kobe versus LeBron.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though LeBron averaged a 40-point triple-double against the Magic that year, that the Magic went to the finals. But what, not relevant to this conversation at all, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Stan Van Gundy purposely defended LeBron one-on-one, letting him score as much as he wanted to, basically, and taking away everyone else. Because he was like, I'll just make LeBron beat us by himself. And he almost did. He almost did. There's also ridiculous shot making from Turkoglu and Rashard Lewis. Mm-hmm. And then Mike Brown was not as good a coach yet. his whole strategy to defend Dwight Howard was, let's just use all our big guys' fouls. Make him shoot free throws. Brutal. It's like, oh, that's a great idea. Anyways.
Brutal. Well, you know, I mean, listen, that series never would have been relevant if KG just didn't hurt his knee. So,
Really, that's true. You talk
about basketball, but, you know, we can't leave out the fact that, you know, Celtics would have won.
He was out all year that year. Like, he hurt his knee, like, mid-year and just was never the same.
Yeah, but if he hadn't hurt his knee, we would have won.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda. You know, if Kyrie and Kevin Love didn't get hurt in 2015, then the Cavs would have won in 2015.
Exactly. We have between us, we have a lot of pretend championships.
Yeah. and in 2010, if Spoelstra had taken the center off the floor like he did in 2011, maybe the Heat beat the Mavericks.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. I think Dirk was inevitable. You know, it was his destiny to win that series.
Perhaps. But anyways, let's get into March Madness a little bit.
Woo!
So for the last couple of years, I've gotten some of my friends, just my small group of friends, into March Madness. And it's always the same kind of conversation when I talk to them. Because it's like, when I first talk to them about it, and they're like, oh, I don't know anything. I'll pass. I don't know anything about college basketball. And I put my hand up, and I'm like, that is a good thing. and so they're like, okay, we'll try it. 2 years ago, my buddy Chase won. Never watched college basketball ever. Then the year after that, his wife won, and she chose which mascots she liked better. And all year, she's just been talking trash about it. And so this year I have the most brackets I've ever had in the pool. We have 16 brackets. And I mean, I'm getting everyone involved. I made a bracket for my wife and my child.
your kid.
Yeah. I made my own bracket. Andrew, our producer, made a bracket. His wife made a bracket. A bunch of our friends have made brackets. So, we also are going to make one random bracket, and if the random bracket wins, all the winnings will go to a women's homeless shelter.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, you can't hate that.
No, never. But record level of involvement this year. I'm very stoked, very happy. And I probably am going in more blind than I ever have before in my entire life.
Really?
Yeah.
I love it.
It's like, the less I know, the better I do sometimes. So, tell me your thoughts on March Madness this year.
I've done a bit of research. Okay. I'm not an expert by any means. let's just be very clear about that. Very, very clear about that. But, I mean, you know, I think it's going to be really fun. Because we have a lot of... I don't think there's a singular juggernaut, at least on the men's side. Like, I don't think that there is... I think there are good teams, for sure.
Yeah, the most popular pick, about 25%, 24% of tournaments are picking the Huskies again. The Connecticut UConn. Huskies.
Yeah. Which I get. UConn, from everything I'm reading, they look great. They're a one seed for a reason. They won last year.
Yeah.
But that's exactly why I don't think they're going to win. They won last year. Yeah. You know?
It's too easy.
It's how often do we get repeat champions?
Not anymore.
In March Madness. Not anymore.
It used to be
not
a thing.
Not with this one and done era. We don't do that no more. So immediately I'm like, UConn, they're not going to make it. Personally, I got to go with Purdue.
Yes,
I'm going
right.
Purdue this year. Baseball.
Purdue? More like per who?
I love that. That's amazing.
Someone's going to hate it.
I think that, you know, it's mostly a vibes pick. They have a big center. Yeah. That
isn't he like a fifth-year center?
I think he's a super senior, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. I don't know, I just like him. Like, you know, you're big. I like that. And so I'm riding with them. They were embarrassed last year, that one seed got knocked out in the first round.
That's right.
So I'm on the kind of redemption kick for them a little bit here. Houston is a big team to watch.
That's another popular pick. That's the second most popular pick this year.
Yeah. It's not surprising. Marquette, I actually caught a couple weirdly because, like, randomly, like, when I'm bored, just, like, at work or wherever, if a college basketball game is on, a lot of times I'll just throw it on. And I've actually caught, like, a couple Marquette games this year just, like, off of just happenstance.
Nice.
And they're pretty good. And they've shown, I mean, they're a two seed. And they're really good. They're really scary. I don't know. I think they could make some real noise. I don't have any sort of like advanced thoughts on them because again, I've only kind of was like half watching a couple games, but like,
yeah, I hear you.
I think that they have a legit like they're legitimately good.
I like Marquette. I have them going a decent amount.
It's always fun when I think either Duke or North Carolina are good, and both of them are. I mean, North Carolina's one seed as well, so that's super fun.
Yeah, the toughest part about filling out your bracket is trying to figure out when the one seeds will lose, because you know that some of them are going to lose. You can't just have all one seeds in the Final Four. But yeah, I generally like to go with teams that. Like, when I read about them, it says that they're hot going into the tournament. I think momentum is really important. I actually have the Auburn Tigers winning it all.
Auburn?
Yes.
Okay.
And the reason being is that they're elite on both sides, and they're 10 deep. They have a deep bench. They also are top 15 in defensive three-point percentage this year. And I liked teams that could defend the three in the tournament. And then they also limit opponents to the lowest field goal percentage in the nation inside the arc. So, I really like their defense. And they're Tigers. I love Tigers. So, going with that. I also have a lot of hopes for... who is this? Shoot. St. Mary's, I have them going all the way to the Final Four. They are also really hot. They only have lost one game since Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is a good team, then.
Yeah. I mean, they're a five seed, you know. It's not none of this is expected. Like, I'm going for, like, upsets and stuff, you know. But, yeah. Again, they're elite at guarding the three-point line and guarding the paint. So you have to win a defensive battle to beat them, basically. And so the rest of my Final Four is Houston and Creighton. Houston, I don't really need to talk too much. Everyone is high on Houston. But Creighton, I they're balanced and a strong three-point shooting team. I always like to pick at least one team that's a good three-point team. And all these teams, a lot of these teams, kind of the theme is they're slower paced. I think that tends to benefit teams at this point of the year. And they went to the Elite Eight last year, and they brought a lot of players back as well. So, yeah, but my pick is Auburn over Creighton in the championship round.
Okay. Yeah, I have. Unfortunately, I did kind of fall a little bit victim when I was filling out my entire bracket. I do have three one seeds making the Final Four.
Oh, which
I
know. No.
That's the worst thing ever. I know, but it is.
You still have time to tinker, right? You have till Thursday.
We're not going back.
Oh, okay. All right.
This is how we roll.
It's actually kind of funny because I thought the game started today. So as soon as the brackets were put out on Sunday, I was texting and badgering people like, you have until Tuesday. You have to fill out your bracket. And everyone got it done yesterday.
It's like,
I'm like, no. Can't argue with the results. So
you got everyone prepared.
Yeah, exactly. And they can always go back and change things because it's not set in stone. You know, you can't see anyone else's picks yet or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I also think, so like I said, my friend's wife, Marissa, she won last year. And her second bracket, I think she imported Stephen A. Smith's bracket.
Really?
Yeah. If Stephen A. Smith beats us, I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to be so mad.
We don't deserve anything. We'll have to add him. We'll have to add him to the Oracle meter.
Oh, yeah.
If he wins. He'll have to become a respected NBA analyst.
Yes. I guess so. This is March Madness, though. It's all luck.
That's so true. But... unless I win, in which case it's all skill. Actually,
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Did you fill out a women's as well?
I did fill out a women's. Nice. I know even less about.
Yeah, I somehow actually I feel like I know more about the women's game this year.
You know what? Than I do that's fair.
The men's game. So that's fun for me.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark all the way. I have Iowa over NC State.
Yeah, I really just went ahead and I'm trying to find my women's one. But I'm having some trouble finding the women's. But
yeah, I feel like Baylor always does well in the women's tournament. And then I just like the feel of Indiana this year on the women's side. Deep team, well-rounded.
Yes. Okay, I found it. For me, it really just kind of was like, well, listen, South Carolina is literally undefeated this year.
Oh.
So.
I didn't know
I was
that.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, okay. They're probably going to make it the whole way. But I'm going with Iowa. I'm going with Caitlin Clark. You know, last year they had the great finals between Iowa and LSU. And that was awesome. But LSU won. And I think now, narratively, it would be really wonderful if Caitlin Clark could kind of tip off this final season. She breaks the all-time record.
Yes.
In scoring in NCAA men or women history. You got to give it, I mean, that's incredible. So I feel like, and now she's going to take, you know, she's going to take WNBA by storm, this season, which is kind of crazy. I didn't like fully realize that like she's going to be playing WNBA games in like in July.
Unreal.
It's wild. So I'm
it
like,
is wild.
I'm so ready.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is going to be the beginning of it. You know, narratively speaking, I got to ride with Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
I have Iowa over South Carolina.
Okay.
I also have Maryland making the making the Final Four, and that's just purely you know
what
the Maryland blood runs thick, baby, it runs thick, and Maryland did not make the men's tournament, but they did make the women's tournament. So I have them going to the Final Four because you know.
Yeah, go gotta Terps. Represent.
Go Terps, baby. Let's go.
Oh, man. Well, yeah. If anyone listening wants to join in on the fun, just let us know. Shoot us an email at bigmarketbias.com. I'll send you an invite. And
bigmarketbias@gmail.com.
Ooh, thank you for that.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, by the time I talk to you next week, we will have, I think, we will have the first two rounds done of the tournament. So we will know our Sweet 16.
Yes, and we'll kind of have an idea, a feel for who's going to be happy and who's not.
Yeah, we'll see.
There's always one team that loses that breaks everyone's bracket.
Everyone's bracket.
Everyone. Yeah. Yep. So
I'm really looking. I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm really looking forward to March Madness this year. I'm gonna be working basically every single like every day. I'm gonna be working, so that means I'm gonna be doing a lot of like oh yeah, totally, you're doing this, and I'm gonna have the game on my phone, like, you know, really just trying to get as maximum amount of March Madness I can.
Yeah,
while definitely. Also pretending to do my job.
I. This morning I really thought March Madness started today, like I said. So, you know, my child has not been sleeping super great, but and then my wife has to work during the day from home and I take care of the baby. So, you know, I get up again with her again and I'm like exhausted, but like, let's watch some March Madness. And I go downstairs. I'm like, oh, it's not till Thursday.
Oopsie.
Yeah. So anyways, any other thoughts before we wrap ourselves up? Wrap ourselves up, wrap up.
Wrap the whole world up. you know, just shouts to Tyrese Haliburton. You know, he's in a bad funk. I saw that the one interview clip of him. He seems like he's really struggling mentally with the fact that he is struggling on the court. And you know, shouts to him. Can't be easy. You know, I remember just on the All-Star break, you know, interviewers going to Miles Turner and be like, is there anything Tyrese Haliburton can't do? Yeah. And like, yeah. You know, and it's just kind of, it feels sad, feels bad. Honestly, you know, it's clear he's not healthy. You know, I know
that he's playing so he can get that 65 game minimum, so he can get that Supermax. Yeah. It sucks.
And that sucks. That doesn't feel great. And honestly, if I was the Pacers, you know, I would maybe really sit here and think about shutting him down.
We'll just get you some Indiana sponsorships out here, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I know they want to make the playoff run, and I know they want to go to the playoffs, and I want to see the Pacers in the playoffs because they're a fun team, and Tyrese Haliburton is fun. But the more that this goes on, the longer that his slump, it's clear he's not right. And if I were them personally, I'd just say, listen, Tyrese is young player. That, you know, yeah, you want him to get the playoff experience this year. That would be great. But at the end of the day, his long-term health, I think, is more important.
Totally.
And so,
totally agree.
I don't know if you can maybe make a deal with him. Like, hey, listen, we'll get you to that 65 game. We'll put you on a minutes restriction. Get you that 65. But then once you hit that 65,
you're shut
get
down.
Get you out.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
And, like, go get a surgery or whatever it is that they need for him to do.
But he also still has to make the All-NBA team, right? So he has to put up numbers.
That's true. I mean, we'll talk That's about rough. All-NBA here in a few weeks, but yes, I mean, I feel pretty confident he'll be okay.
Okay.
In that department, as long as he can make
the game. I mean, minimum. He's still leading the league in assists, isn't he?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I mean, because his assist numbers haven't come down that much. It's just his scoring that's down a little bit.
Yeah, his three-point percentage is awful right now. It really just doesn't look good.
He's not been as great for me fantasy-wise. But his assists have been amazing for me. So
I mean, hey, look, listen. Indiana basketball is back fully. Tyrese Haliburton.
Totally.
And then the Indiana Fever is about to draft Caitlin Clark. Most
likely.
Oh,
my God.
So it's like,
that'd be awesome.
Everything's running through in Indiana here for the
Seattle
next few
Storm.
Years,
I want
people.
The Seattle Storm to get her.
I think the Storm, I don't actually
They're not know. In the running for the lottery, are they? I have no idea.
Seattle, oh, right. Seattle, they gave away their pick to the Sparks.
Son of a... Hopes and dreams shattered in real time. That sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks. Why'd they do that?
I guess.
Whatever. I'll look into it later.
I don't know. I'm not as plugged in on the W, yeah, so I don't fully know. I'm just looking at Tankathon. But I guess the lottery hasn't. I don't know if you know if the lottery has happened yet. So.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, I'm not sure it hasn't. Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not as plugged into the W. We'll get there, but we will be listeners' sake. thanks for tuning in to Big Market Bias. If you have any strong opinions on anything we said here today, please email us at bigmarketbias@gmail.com. If you hear a credible NBA analyst, not Stephen A., with a prediction, send that in to us as well. Have a great weekend, everyone. Peter and Cam signing off.